precious listen, building.
You are more than the air.
Listen, close to my heart.
See her face and notice she sees.
Your reflection is more than you see. You are more than a phenom, lasting essence longer than eons in the plateau that we on.
Welcome back to the Poetic Property Podcast. I'm your host, Complex, the poet, author, and entrepreneur. I wanted to start off today by doing a mental health check for my people. See how everybody's doing. This has been a very difficult time, and I just want to let the people, you know, who already suffer from depression, who already suffer from mental health, emotional issues, etc., that you have support, and I hope you guys are doing well. Me being an empath, I am struggling I'm just struggling in general. I feel such a darkness on the inside of me from seeing all seeing all this negativity. And it's really weird because I'm very much so a homebody. I'm very much so like to myself, but everywhere I turn, it's dark, it's negative, and it's just difficult. I feel sorry for my people. I feel sorry for, you know, our allies. I feel sorry for the people who just don't understand, don't know what to do, don't know how to react to what's going on in the world today. It's crazy in the middle of a pandemic and riots and protests. And I find it so hard because at the root of everything, it's a simple ask, which is hold people who kill people accountable. All people. Doesn't matter if it's a civilian, doesn't matter if it's a cop, doesn't matter if it's black, white, or doesn't matter if the death is of any color. Let there be some accountability. But like I said, being an empath, it's difficult to deal with this because I see so much pain and so much hurt in the timeline, on the news, you know, walking, you know, just walking through my neighborhood, you know, during, you know, exercise and stuff. You just hear things and it's just like, wow, like the country, the world as a whole is just... 2020, it has been, man, I can't even explain it. But it's difficult because I feel it all. And like I said before, I'm very much so a mind my business type person, but I feel so emotionally connected to everything. It affects me and it just keeps my mind cycling like, why can't it be something different? Why can't we as a country, as a nation, as a world, like, why is it so hard for people to be civil? Why does it have to be a fight for you to be civil? That's very difficult to process. Like, again, doesn't matter the color. It's a simple ask to be nice to people. It's a simple ask to be fair to people. And it's so crazy to see just because black people and people of color are asking to be treated fairly and respected, the world has turned upside down. I hurt for every death that I've seen. I hurt for every family that's torn apart. I hurt because at any twist and turn, it could be me, it could be my sons, it could be my daughter, it could be my brother, it could be my mom, my dad, you know, a friend. And to know that no justice will be served, it's insane to me. To know that peace doesn't get the answer. And I'm saying, I don't want to say that loosely. I feel like at some point, peace has to escalate for, like, if how can I say this? If I'm asking you nicely to stop consistently and you're still doing what you're doing, it has to escalate to something else so you can understand that this is not right what you're doing, right? And I see, you know, I see the focus on, oh, it's riots, it's this, it's that, they're vandalizing, they're doing this, they're doing that. For whatever reason, the only language that America understands is money. And it just hurts because it shouldn't be that way. And it's affecting me because I'm just tired of death. I'm tired of it, and especially nonsense. Especially just like, I don't understand why arrests aren't being made. Like, why is it escalating just to killing people? And I don't have all of the information. All I know is what I see, what I've experienced, what people around me have experienced, and what we've discussed. It hurts, even though I'm not the one physically being choked out, physically being shot, physically being tased for things that don't require an escalation of death. Like, I don't know. I I empathize with those families, and it's just taking a toll on me, and it's just difficult to process. It really is. And it's just like, yo, like, at some point, you have to be able to say, you know what? We all should be treated fairly, and let it be that. Like, nobody's asking for something extra. Nobody's we're not asking, like, oh, well, we want you to get extra time. No, we just don't want you to do that. I see all these voiceover actors, they're resigning from the characters because they're not a person of color, and they're voicing a black person on these shows and stuff like that. And I see, you know, I think it was in Texas, they were saying they were not going to call the largest bedroom in the house the master bedroom. And it's just like, fam, stop killing us. Nobody cares about all that. Like, being honest, nobody cares about that TV show. Yeah, these opportunities in Hollywood, from what I'm seeing on the, you know, on the news and Twitter, and, you know, people just speaking out. Yeah, these opportunities are not going to people of color. I get that. But I'm just going to be honest, for me, I could care less about a damn TV show when real lives are at stake. At some point, you knew that you were playing a black character. It shouldn't have taken all of this for you to say, all right, I don't want to play that black character. It should go to somebody black, or it should go to a person of color. No one cares about that. We just want you not to kill us. And if you happen to kill someone, even as an officer, justice should be served. Period. There should not be a time where an officer can kill someone and there is not a true investigation. Period. It doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what age, doesn't matter male or female. It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't have to go through all this hurt and pain. We shouldn't have to go and like we protesting still. And I see they're like, oh, well, we're 4 weeks out. We're still protesting. Or 20 days out. We're still protesting. Nah, we've been protesting. So these little 20 days that we have here, add that to the years of our grandparents, our great grandparents. Add it to all that because we've been protesting for all them years. It's just that we haven't been in the middle of the streets doing it. We haven't been able to come together and do it. That's one thing that does make me proud about this situation is that we coming together to finally to do it. Things are not letting up. Like, we're demanding change. We're demanding, like, just respect us. We have allies that are out there protesting with us. Just, like, respect the people. There's no way that we should be paying for you to kill us. Because you're so-called scared for your life, you go through a training to be a police officer. So we're supposed to be scared for our life and stand still, don't say nothing, don't move, don't sneeze, don't fart, don't burp, don't do nothing, or else we're going to get killed. And that's affecting me as a person when I see these type of things happen to any color. But my black people, We don't get, it's difficult. It really is. It's very difficult. And I just feel for my people. And I hope that at some point we'll be able to be in peace. We'll get the same respect as every other human being that gets pulled over by a police officer or have an interaction with a police officer. It won't be a death sentence. It's really hard, and I don't know. But that's all I have on that. I pray that this, you know, I pray that we're able to continue to protest peacefully. I pray that we're able to get heard. Pray that changes are able to be made. I just really hope that this isn't one of those things. I hope true change comes from this. Yeah. I hope true change comes from this. I hope that we're able to, at the end of all this, we're able to not feel as if we protested in vain, that we were listened to and respected. So, all right, that's, yeah, it's just, it is difficult. And it's just, it's crazy because all this happened in the middle of a pandemic, and it's creating so much emotional distress for people. Like I said, I feel sorry for, you know, the people like myself who are very empathetic and who carry all these emotions. People struggling with mental health issues, introverts, like, whew. My kids have been home every day. And I love my kids. Like, if you know me, I love my kids. But being an introvert, this has taken a turn for the worse. Like, no matter where I go in the house, somebody is there. And it's funny because I see people, you know, always saying they're triggered. And I don't think that they realize true triggers. And when you are an introvert, like, you need you need to not be around people, like, for a certain amount of hours, or it gets a bit difficult. And for me, having the kids here, like, without the school break, and then they didn't go, you know, normally they'll either go with their mom in the summer, or they'll go with my mom in the summer, and nah. So it is a struggle. It's like, I go to the restroom, they at the door talking to me. I try to lock my door, they sticking notes under the door. As soon as I come down from break for lunch, or from break and or lunch, they're literally at my office door. Dad, 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 dad. Then on top of that, when it's time to go to sleep, they're in my room. What you watching, Dad? Can we play on the PlayStation? You want to play with us? Dad, look at this. And again, I love my kids, but it's just becoming very difficult. So all you introverted parents, all you introverted people in general, I know you can't wait to this coronavirus is over so these people could go. Because that's how I feel. I feel like, man, as much as I love them, it's taking a toll on me, because I'm already depressed for other issues. It's just, it is what it is. We stuck in the house, and then on top of that, everywhere you turn, it's negativity, and I just feel like the walls are just closing in. So for me, I try to kind of sneak and go on a walk without them. Like, I just walk out, like, yo, because I just need a breather. I'm not used to having. I've been a single parent for so long. I am used to having them every day, but not every minute of the day. So it's like that 7-8 hours of school, it gives me time to recharge. Even though during that time I'm working, you know, my 9 to 5, it gives me that time to recharge, to miss them, like, oh, and like genuinely be like, how was your day? But with them, when I wake up, they wake up. When I go eat, they go eat. Like, every single thing is like, I come downstairs, they come downstairs. I go upstairs, they go upstairs. And with all the emotions that's going around, I find myself having to really, like, meditate, like, in the split second to calm down, because it's not an anger thing at all. It's just an anxiety thing of trying to process every single thing. And I think that's one of the hardest things to deal with for parents who are introverted, who struggle with depression, and who are empaths. Because as parents, you have to, like, your kids are your kids. You know what I mean? Like, no matter how old they are, they're your kids. But my kids are all 14 and under. So they require some attention. So it's very difficult to shut it off, to be able to communicate with them properly coming out as anger or irritation. It's very hard to do that, but sometimes I'm able to, sometimes I'm not. But I just can't wait for this is over. I can't wait for the quarantine to be over. Not necessarily the quarantine. I can't wait until they figure out what's going on with this virus and safely let people be outside and stuff like that. And plus, the kids are, they're tired of being around me as well. They're tired of being in the house as well. They get to the point to where one of my kids, he just says, like, I'm just tired of seeing y'all every single day. And it's like, we all tired of seeing each other. We are all tired of seeing each other every day, every minute, and we're not getting no space. And plus, it's 100 plus out here. So even if they go outside, it's not really long because of the heat. So for me, like I said, I've learned how to just stop and quickly, you know, do my breathing exercises to calm myself, and deal with my kids accordingly, because they're always going to be my kids. And I don't want to speak you to an existence, but, you know, having the level of depression, being an empath, introvert, like that's who I am. It's not one of those things that's going to come and go. So it's a work in progress, like daily. It's a daily work in progress to be able to deal with the different personalities, deal with them always wanting to be right up under me and stuff like that, and be able to process, you know, my 9 to 5, my parenting, which, you know, who did what, why you did that, stop that, come here, hey, like all that type of stuff, but still remain at a level of peace within myself, to still remain, hold on. So with all that, that's going on, being an introvert, being an empath, a parent, like being, you know, I think I'm handling the depression pretty well, you know, best I can. But it's creating like writer's block, you know, creator's block. It's like every time I sit down to try to come up with a design, or every time I sit down to try to come up with a poem, you know, new material or whatever, I'm so bogged down with the emotions of just seeing so much negativity. So it's like I can't get it out. It's like, it's almost like the creative, like the spark is like right there, but everything that's going on is continuing to hinder the output. So it's like I get sit down, I'm ready to write. I start writing, you know, a couple lines, and then boom, immediately I just think about what's going on in the world. And I made a deal with myself because, and I know this is going to sound arrogant, but I am an amazing poet from a place of pain. But with that, it elevates a level of darkness that just haunts me. And I made a deal with myself that I was going to attempt to write from different emotions, because I don't want to be a dark writer. I don't want to be, you know, every time I do a poem, it's something negative, or not even negative, because my feelings are my feelings, but from a place of pain. I want to be able to write from any emotion, from you know, happiness, excited, erotica. Like, I want to be able to do all that, but this stuff is creating a crazy level of writer's block of like. And then on top of that too, I sit down to design, you know, like I sit down to design, you know, my merchandise or whatever, and then I feel like, dang, I don't want no one to feel like I'm trying to capitalize off what's going on, because my brand is peacefully flawed and it ties into my people. So it's hard for me to like promote my stuff. It's hard for me to, you know, post it and say, hey, because I feel like it's going to be misunderstood as trying to capitalize off of what's going on. And I'm trying to find a way to get out of that way of thinking, because even before all of this, like, I had shifted into my brand, which is Peacefully Flawed. But it's just it's difficult, you know. And I see other creatives releasing material. I see them releasing items and stuff like that, and I respect that. I do, because I can only imagine how hard that really is to, like, legit put that material out. Because, like, what's inspiring right now? You know? It's like, like, every turn is something negative. The news is like, I've been stopped watching the news because I feel like they give you about 15 minutes of the hour of positive things. And then it's death, horrible politics, death, racism, more horrible politics, death, weather, good night. And so for the creators out there that are able to process through and get that stuff out, like, I hope to be there one day where I can not have these weird emotions and weird thoughts. Like, it's crazy because I feel like if I put out this thing, they're going to be like, oh, look at him trying to capitalize. Or if I put out that, it's like, why would you put that out? Why would you do that right now? So I'm battling so much, and it's hindering me from moving forward with my business in some ways. It's becoming difficult for me, like I said, to write my pieces. And I'm trying to get through it. I know I will get through it. I know I'll get through it somehow, because I'm not coming from a place of malice. And like I tell people who I converse with and sometimes mentor, as long as you are saying things from your heart and doing things from your heart, and within you there is not a place of, it's not coming from a place of malice, it's just something you genuinely feel like you should be able to do, then do it. And it doesn't matter how people interpret what you put out. I saw an interview, and it was a clip, Royce the 5'9", and he was saying that as he's writing and creating and doing his beats and stuff like that, he's very protective and very defensive when people critique it, because, you know, he's still, like, that's his baby. He's still molding it. He's still sequencing. He's still putting it together to be what he wants it to be. But the moment he puts it out, he don't care, because he felt secure enough of what he created to put it out. How you interpret what he puts out is on you. And I felt that, like, I felt that because I have that problem as well. And it's not a problem. I think like that as well. I'm very defensive over the things that I'm doing until I put them out. But lately, or I used to be that way, but lately with everything is going on, I kind of, like, I don't want to get looked at like, oh, you're just doing this because of this and that. And it's not that. So it's difficult for me to get past that. And so when I'm sitting down trying to create stuff, those thoughts come in my mind. And I don't know if it's because of the anxiety, because I really don't care. Like, I know it's going to sound really bad. I don't really care what people think of me. I'm very detached emotionally from a lot of stuff. And I've been working on that, you know, for a while now, because I don't want to say I don't care, but yeah, that's the best way I can say it. But I don't mean it in a mean way. Like, I'm not attached to it. So it's very hard for me to care about what you think of me. It's very hard for me to really trip off of that. But when it's something so big that's going on in the world and how the world reacts to certain things, I couldn't mentally handle something going viral in a negative way, meaning, like, I put something out and this has been my brand and who I am, but to someone else, I'm trying to capitalize. And then now you're picking and being disrespectful and attempting to cancel and all that type of stuff. It's just like, I don't, that creates a level of anxiety, and it's so dumb to me. It really is, but that's neither here nor there. But I've been working on myself and working on trying to strengthen who I am, and so that I can come from a place of peace. Like right now, I'm going through this book called The Love Dare, and it's a book. It's meant for you to do with a partner. I've done it by myself before, and now I'm doing it again. But it just teaches you. It's let me say this. It does have like it has scriptures and stuff like there. I'm not trying to. I believe in what I believe in, which is God. So I chose the book. But I feel personally like as you read through it, if you're not with those principles, that's fine. But the book is really good. So it allows me to, like when I first went through it, it allowed me to love me, right? So it gives you a daily dare. Like early on, it's stuff like don't say anything negative for the whole, you know, for 24 hours to your spouse. You know, compliment them, like purposely, intentionally compliment them, etc. So those things I apply to myself. And so I'm teaching myself how to love me. And I start reading that because my ex, like her and I were super duper tight. We were super duper tight. And I initially got it because I was looking for self-help. For me, I was looking for things to change my perspective on the way I looked at life. And so her and I had broke up, and it affected me a lot, like for a long while, because we broke up while we were still in love, which is, I don't have enough time for that, but we broke up while we were still in love. So once that was over and that finally died down for me emotionally, I started going through things that would help me be a better person for me, because I noticed that in my relationships, I'll hold myself accountable and then I'll take their accountability with me. Meaning I don't hold you accountable for your wrong. I accept your wrong as my wrong. And I had to learn how not to do that. I had to learn, because that's unhealthy. And then you begin to think that you're a horrible person. You begin to be down on yourself. And with that, you begin to allow people to attack your character when you don't correctly decipher what is your accountability and what was your partner's accountability in the situation. Because a lot of people, like when you're the weaker one mentally, and I mean not dumb, but I mean like emotion wise, they'll dump that accountability on you and make it a you thing and not accept their portion. So I've learned how to accept my portion, but also without disrespect let you hold on to your portion. And I think that's very important. And that's something that I teach my sons as well, is to be accountable for what you did, what you said, how you acted, and let that be that. And if that person doesn't want to be accountable or feels a way when you're trying to hold them accountable, then that person is not for you, whether it be a conversation with your siblings, whether it be a conversation with a partner in a relationship, whether it be a conversation with me. If you feel like I'm not holding myself accountable for something, then, you know, I'm not saying be disrespectful, but you're a human being. You have your right to be like, all right, cool. You said what you said, I said what I said, and let's just leave it at that. It's very important to me now, and that was one of the books that allowed me to get to that space, because we let people do things to us in relationships when we are not in control of our emotions towards ourselves. So when you have for so long allowed your partners to dump on you at a certain point, you started to believe that that's who you are. So you never defend yourself. You never say anything. But when you do, when you finally respond, it's harsh. When you finally respond, it looks like a tit for tat. Like for me, one of my issues used to be that things that bother me, I wouldn't say anything. I would just be like, all right, whatever, because I feel like, did I die? No. All right, whatever. You're annoying and you're this or you're that. But it's not enough for me to it's not enough for me to say nothing. And I would let it build up and then I would say everything. Or, you know, I would be in a conversation and be like, well, I feel like this. So for me, once you open a door to say that you feel like something, for me, it's like, oh, we're having a conversation about how we feel. So then, boom, I'm going to tell you how I feel. That's not healthy because, again, that comes off as a tit for tat. Logically, to me, it makes sense, but it's never worked with anybody that I've been with. Like, it turned into me, quote unquote, attacking them. So for me, I've learned how to love myself and still learning daily. Also, learning how to hold myself accountable for me and no one else. And I know if you break it down, like if you break it down, you'll realize you probably have this same issue as well, where you're the emotionally weak one in the relationship. So you take all the, you take all the brunt of everything. Even if it's that person's fault, and it's like this in every single thing. The first person to do something is never the person that gets caught. It's the person who reacts, because the person who reacts is reacting from a place of defense. So it's all the response is always harsher. So people look at the person who responded. So it's like I always use this example to my kids when I'm trying to tell them, like, yo, you guys just y'all. You have to be accountable. You have to understand what you're dealing with. I say this, if you grow up and you push someone, right? And you barely tap them, boom, you barely tap them. But for them, they didn't have enough and they haul off and knock you out, right? No one's going to look that you pushed them, or they're going to say, oh, he didn't push you that hard. Why did you hit him that hard? The accountability in that, the accountability in that is understanding that what you feel is not so serious, what you feel is not so harsh or so hurtful, is very much so hurtful, harsh, and heavy to the other person. So accountability is key, but authentic accountability is key. You have to be to a place to where you love yourself and you believe in yourself enough that you're not going to accept that. I'm not going to accept you telling me something about me that I know is not true. I can't control your feelings. You're allowed to feel how you feel, but you're going to take this accountability. And I love this book that I'm reading. Like I said, I'm going through it for a second time. I'm going through it for a second time because I feel myself slipping with everything that's going on. I feel myself slipping into this darkness and I'm needing to find my way back to me. I had said something before. It's like I lost myself looking for love. And then I lost love finding myself. Because once you start finding yourself and once you start loving you, you don't take the same things that you used to take before. So the accountability is different. Like you hold that person accountable. You're willing to be by yourself if it doesn't work. See, I'm a person who know since I've been 8 years old, I've been in relationships. Since I've been eight, like it's a whole family joke of like I've been a little guy, like I've been a little man since I've been eight, and I've been in a relationship. And I just run to the next because I didn't find who I was. But then I start holding myself accountable. I start, you know, reading the books that I felt helped me. I start doing the things that I felt were good for me. I started I started being me and not being me for the relationship. And we're not taught that at, we're not really taught relationships, friendships, boyfriend, girl. We're not taught that. You're supposed to just be on some animal kingdom type stuff, and it just happens as you grow up. And I think that's a problem. So that's why I teach my kids accountability. Be wrong when you're wrong, be right when you're right. And don't be afraid to peacefully speak up to let someone know, like, no, that's not how this is. This ain't that. And so that's a big lesson. So, for, like I said, this Love Dare book is, for me, one of the best books that I picked up for myself. It's meant to be read with a spouse. Like, it's meant to be read from a relationship standpoint. But you can apply a lot of what they're saying, apply to someone else. You can apply that to you. And it creates a level of growth and a level of peace. Like, I've always been secure of who I am as a man. But I've always loved the person. I don't want to get sued. I don't know how this works, but I'm about to play something real quick. Give me a quick second. I'm about to play something real quick because this is how I've always been, and I had to get out of this. I had to get out of this because I feel like it was becoming detrimental for me to not be this way, because I was being someone who I didn't want to be. I was allowing things to, is it this one? Hold on. I needed to hear that shit. I hate when you're submissive. Passive aggressive when we're texting. I feel the distance. We've been talking about the future. Hold on. I don't want to get sued. Here we go. So I've always been that way. Like, I love for the both of us. So I'm going to take the pain. I'm going to take your attitude. I'm going to take everything that you say about me. And more than likely, I'm not going to say anything about you, even though it's probably a lot of stuff that gets on my nerves. Even though you're probably mean, even though you're probably nagging. All right, cool, whatever. Because my thing is, it's not enough. It's not enough for me to take it there. But I had to start realizing that's the unhealthy part of relationships in general, friendships, romantic relationships, parental, like all relationships work. When you are allowing people to dump on you consistently without you doing anything, especially when it's not your fault, that creates an emotional prison. And the moment that I realized emotionally I was in a prison in all of my relationships, all of them, because I was so used to being with people. I was so, you know, that was my thing, because I needed someone. I've been searching for this level of love all my life. I've been searching. I've been moving. I got it early. I was 17, I think, 16, 17 or whatever. And it freaked me out. Ever since then, I told myself, if I ever get that feeling again, I'm going to do whatever it takes to not to ruin it. You feel me? and things happen in life, and you know, to where you have to just stop. And it's not about the other person, it's about you. Like, you have to learn how to be selfish correctly. You have to learn how to be in love with yourself correctly. You have to learn how to think, you know, you have to learn how to think for yourself, to believe in yourself, like, without a partner. Until you know how to do that, no relationship will ever work. And I feel like that goes along with everything that's going on in the world. Until we are having an accountability conversation that resonates with both sides, with all people, then we're going to stay where we're at right now, which is us asking for peace and people of authority not seeing that our peace is being violated because they don't want to hold themselves accountable. That's the biggest problem that we have. That being said, people, I love you all. I pray for you all. I hope that this quarantine ends safely. I hope that this coronavirus dissipates. I hope that the protests that we're in, and I hope they continue until we're heard. I hope that we are giving a hope for peace. I hope for peace. I have faith that these protests will bring upon immense change, and I just hope that it continues to change, but I hope that it continues to change in a peaceful way. I hope that we, and when I say we, I mean Black people and people of color, white people, all of us, I hope that we are one day able to hold ourselves accountable for what we need to be accountable for, but demanding respect and accountability from everyone who needs to hold themselves accountable. Thank you guys for tuning in for another week of the Poetic Property Podcast. I appreciate all of you. Peace and love. It's Complex.